Well, join me now with his reaction, editor-in-chief of Decrypt, Dan Roberts. Dan, thanks for joining me on set today. Okay, so we got a whole mess here. Let's break it down. Let's start with the money. Mm-hmm. How much is owed? How much have we identified? And how do you see that gap changing over time?
And by the way, right off the bat, Brian, you know there's a problem if the guy who liquidated Enron says this is the worst
thing I've seen
in my career.
I mean, you don't
the worst financial
that.
Mismanagement yes. I've ever seen. $8 or $9 billion in the hole in terms of customer withdrawals that are owed. The damage here might be more. Now, as Kelly said, a lot of funds that are just missing, vanished. There's been accusations of a backdoor between FTX and Alameda. That was Sam Bankman-Fried's other company. Hilariously, in a tweet, he said that was just incorrect internal labeling. So $8 or $9 billion in the hole and less than $1 billion in actual liquid assets.
Yeah.
So right now, if you want that big money figure, $8 or $9 or $10 billion, but it could become much more. You've got so much contagion here with other companies and firms that had invested in FTX or that FTX had invested. So money kind of owed in both directions, and you know they're going to try and claw back however they can. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of different lawsuits here.
So, and you've got this battle between the Bahamas and the U.S. right now. Who has jurisdiction? The government in Bahamas, I think, took a lot of the assets that FTX had. How does that get resolved? Where does this end up being tried?
For now, they've come to, you could call it a detente. They've come to a temporary agreement that, you know, the part of the bankruptcy liquidation that the Bahamas wanted jurisdiction over is going to be in Delaware. But the sides already said, you know, there may be more disagreement to come. There may be more disputes. Mm. The Bahamas basically says, well, look, this was a company that was operating in the Bahamas. But because of that, if you're over in the U.S., you say, well, there are rules that they didn't have to follow. Of course, that's why this guy hasn't been charged with anything.
Right.
You know, a lot of friends have texted me, why isn't he in jail? Why is he sitting just able to tweet? He's responding to reporter DMs. Well, he hasn't been charged with anything.
Wow.
He has been invited to come to a congressional hearing. Maybe invited isn't the best word. Asked, demanded
right.
to come to a congressional hearing next month. Maybe you'll see him come to the U.S. before that. But he's not on the lam. He's not on the run. He's not in prison. He's tweeting in the Bahamas.
So you've got this company, and everybody who's looking at this from the outside is saying it is so rife with incompetence. I mean, it looks like grade school kids were running this thing. He's sitting at the top of it, but the whole thing rests on intent here. Mm-hmm. Was it just that they were really, really stupid, or did they know what they were doing and manage it very badly? How do you see that playing out? Because that to me is the most interesting part here.
Well, I was lucky enough to have interviewed Sam quite a few times in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Almost everyone did. He made himself very available to media. He was a very approachable guy. I mean, he's 29, 30 years old. He would just write back to a Twitter DM. And in the past 2 weeks, I would have told you at first, I don't think that he was a criminal. I don't think that in his mind he was consciously thinking, ha ha ha, look at me scamming everyone. This industry has had a lot of scammers, people who consciously knew I'm a scammer and I'm getting away with it. My take previously was, I don't think that's what was going on with Sam. In the last few days, I'm feeling a little differently. I mean, he's responded to Twitter DMs basically confirming, yeah, the effective altruism stuff was just an image.
Yeah.
You know, it helps you get press. It was all a laugh. It's starting to look to me like he very much knew what he was doing, that backdoor to Alameda. The biggest problem here is, why didn't the CEO have a sense of the company's leverage? I mean, you can't just say, oops, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone's a little bit to blame. You know, the celebrities who endorsed the thing,
right.
The media who trumped him up, all of the different politicians who he wined and dined and you know, met with him and said, this is the guy who's the advocate of the industry. Everyone a little bit played a part in kind of making him this golden child.
And they all helped give them that fiefdom that everyone's talking about right now. It's crazy to me. We got to leave it there, Dan. Always good to see you. Thanks for being
Thanks.
Here today.